Hello, 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 and welcome to Tease Me. This is a podcast about the intersection of golf, business, and life. And occasionally we'll drop some gems on networking and just how that makes your life better. Because knowing more than one person is actually a good thing. Hello, hello, Tease Me listeners. Sometimes life interrupts, and that's why it's taken a little bit longer to produce this episode. I kept waiting for my voice to fully come back, but it did not. And that's what happens when you are in the African American Day Parade on the float for Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, and you decide to ski-wee like you did quite a few years ago when you first crossed. So, with that being said, I am going to do my best to introduce this month's guests. And if you didn't know, these are our last few episodes of Tease Me. We're going to go into a post-production phase where we won't be creating new episodes for a while. So you can binge, listen, and catch up on anything you haven't heard already. But for this month, we are focusing on our upcoming guest, Dawn Kelly. What I love about Dawn is her can-do attitude. From the moment I met her, she has been a positive light of encouragement. And you know, this entrepreneurial journey is a lonely one sometimes. So it's always good to have someone that is reminding you and always reminded that she can do anything. And you know, if you're following the Bible and there's a verse, it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hence, can do. So having a can-do attitude is truly a transformational aspect of being an entrepreneur. But let me tell you a little bit about Dawn. Born in Harlem and raised in Queens by way of Ravenswood Houses in Astoria, she also represents Cambria Heights and Laurelton. Dawn is a graduate of Howard University. She has over 30 years of experience in public and media relations. Dawn is a trusted and proven public relations and strategic communications executive with an award-winning track record of implementing large-scale, innovative, integrated communication plans to build brand awareness for businesses, including her own. After her three-decade-long corporate and nonprofit career, Kelly is now the CEO of The Nourish Spot, a family-owned, quick-serve, healthy food, smoothie, and natural juice bar located on the iconic Guy R. Brewer Boulevard, formerly New York Boulevard, located in Jamaica, Queens, New York. Dawn serves as principal of the Metropolis Group US, a virtual public relations and marketing firm, and is a board member of the York College CUNY Foundation Board and member of the New York City Queens Community Board 12. As an avid reader, Kelly genuinely understands the need to not only nourish the body, but the mind and soul. She hosts the podcast, The Nourish Spot Hour, to communicate information, services, and solutions of value. Kelly interviews entrepreneurs and safety net and community development program directors from across Southeast Queens to shed light on their missions and initiatives. The Nourish Spot Hour can be found on Google Play, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and Spotify. So let's welcome Dawn Kelly. Okay, hello, hello, Tease Me listeners. We have a very special guest today. We have Dawn Kelly of The Nourish Spot. Welcome, Dawn, to our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you, LJ.
I'm excited to have you. So we are just fresh off the U.S. Open. And for those that don't know, Miss Kelly actually had a vending stand at the U.S. Open. Tell us, like, how did that come to be?
Well, you know, I'm going to first use DJ Khaled's language. God did it. So when we started the business 5 years ago, I had very small dreams. I'll be real honest. I had very, very small dreams about, you know, what we were going to do in the community. But then I went through a couple of programs, a couple of classes, and, you know, my dreams started to get bigger. And I started dreaming about what could be, right? And one of the things that I really had my heart set upon was being a concession in airports, in stadiums, at major, major events, right? And concerts. And the U.S. Open, you know, started to creep up on that actual list. And I just started asking questions, asking people whether or not that was a possibility and how I could do it. And I really believe what made it happen is when we were invited to become a vendor at the Forest Hill Stadium. That's the first place where Arthur Ashe ever played tennis. And they invited us to be a concession, very small space, not like it was at the US Open. They invited us to serve smoothies to the concert goers at the 2021 Back to New York concert. Remember, the mayor held those concerts all across New York City. And so we got to be a vendor there. And that same company actually manages the US Open. They're the hospitality vendor. So I just asked them, you know, how do we take this to the next level? And here we are, 2 years later, here we are, fresh off of service. We aced our service at the US Open.
So many gems there. So, you know, just speaking things into existence, but then also being persistent and patient. Can you talk about, just for those that don't know, you have a brick and mortar store in Queens. And when you're trying to move into these spaces where people become more aware of your brand and you're taking it on the road, what are some of the things that you're thinking about to maintain, you know, the same quality and the level of service that you give?
Well, first of all, it's our staff, the training that we provide our staff. We don't hire people outside of the Nourish Spot when we get these wonderful opportunities. We actually use the staff that we have. We leverage the skills and talents of the young people that already work for us, okay? And we give them the opportunity to take their skills outside of the brick and mortar into these outdoor venues. And I would tell you that they love it. We've had the opportunity in this year, in 2022, has been a bevy of riches. We started out this year at the World Trade Center, right? We got a wonderful opportunity to set up a smoothie station at a organization that's located at 3 World Trade. Every time I say that, I can't stop smiling. And I was able to take 5 of our young people from Southeast Jamaica, Queens, many of which had never been in those buildings before. And so the impact that had on them is just unimaginable, okay? They were so proud to be able to say that they were working at the World Trade Center. You know, it was kind of lost on me because, you know, in my former life, I got to do all those things. I got to go in all those buildings. And so when, you know, managing their excitement over being there was wonderful. But then seeing them in action, actually serving all of these corporate employees was wonderful. We were there for 3 straight days, for 3 hours each day, serving our wonderful smoothies to corporate employees. So that's what kicked us off this summer. And then we just kept going into other outdoor venues to serve people our healthy fare. And so I think one, it's, again, asking questions, okay? I think that sometimes, you know, as entrepreneurs and even as corporate employees, we think that, you know, asking a question says something bad about us, but it doesn't. You know, if you don't know, you don't know, right? And my mother always taught me that if you ask a question, all they can say is 2 things, yes or no. And I think that more times than not, I have gotten yes. And when I did get no, it wasn't necessarily a hard no, it was not yet. And so I really make sure that I cultivate connections with individuals, like even you. You know, I met you and I didn't let you go, okay? I meet people and I figure out how we can have a reciprocal relationship, how I can help them and they can help me and we can grow together. And I think that that's the name of the game in business, especially amongst African-Americans and especially with Black women.
That is so powerful. Like, you know, there's so many, you know, when I think about it, there's so many messages that you've shared from mentoring a younger generation, giving them the opportunity to see things that you may have seen in your past life or have taken for granted and don't realize how big or how large of an impact that has on their vision and their view of the world, right? We only know what we see sometimes. And how do you teach people to dream bigger? So that's very powerful. But let's circle back, because you actually left corporate America to start the Nourish Spot. So tell us more about like what that pivotal moment when you were at that fork in the road and you're like, I am done with this. Let me step into this new space of my life. What was that like for you?
Well, it wasn't my decision, actually. My job was eliminated 7 years ago, and on September 9th, 2022. I walked into work one day thinking I was going on a trip because I traveled around the world for the company. And unfortunately, well, let's change that. Fortunately, I was told that my job had been eliminated. Now, in that moment, it felt terrible, right? I felt like a failure. I felt like maybe I had done something wrong. But now, 7 years later, in hindsight, I realized God had so many more plans, so many more glorious plans for me. And I'm glad that my daughter, Jade, helped me get out of my funk, right? And realize that I had so much more to give and so much more left in this world. And so the day I decided to do the juice bar, I was actually watching the news and a segment came on about Styles P. He owned his own juice bar in Westchester. He had just opened it. And I'll be honest, I told him this personally, so I'm going to tell you. You know, when I looked at it, I was like, I can make it look better than that. You know, I was all in the aesthetics, right? Not necessarily the menu. I was looking at the aesthetics of the place. And also, I was on my own health journey. So it aligned with what was going on in my own life. And I didn't have a job, right? So I had all of the pieces in order to make something like this come true. And of course, my faith, which, you know, covers me, made me believe, gave me the courage and the confidence to believe that I actually could establish the business with the help of my children and open it. And look, we're 5 years later, still, well, now into the sixth year, still pressing forward with the Nourish Spot. And so I'm very proud.
So, you know, even in that story, tell us more about how did you persevere? Because starting a business is hard. Maintaining a business, growing a business, and getting the revenue, like to pay your bills and to live your life, there's nothing easy about that journey. Like it is a choice that people take. How did you stay motivated and what was it that kept you going?
Well, there's so much in that question. So number one, I was a senior executive at a major financial services firm, and I was the first one in my family ever to achieve that level of in corporate America. And so I would tell you, I saved my money, right? Like I definitely put money in my 401k. So anybody watching that's in corporate America, put money in your 401k, because I did, so I could get the match, right? Also, what I did was I saved money outside of my 401k in my bank account, because I'm going to tell you, I was always afraid of that day, right? When they might say I won't have the job no more. And I needed to have something to show for it. So that's the first and foremost thing. I did have my own investable assets that I could invest in myself and my own business. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, I would say that, and I didn't miss the question. Tell me, I'm missing another part of the question.
Keeping you motivated to keep pushing forward. Okay.
So at first I wasn't motivated at all. At first I was in my bed crying every day. I will tell you that, because I felt like a failure. I had never in my life been eliminated, retrenched, laid off. You know, I went to college when I was 16 years old. I was at Howard University at 16. Okay. I got skipped in the second grade. I went from the second grade to the fourth grade. So, you know, I knew nothing about failure. Right. And in hindsight, I realized I didn't fail, right? But it felt like failure that day when I lost my job. So my faith, again, is what pushes me forward. I pray a lot, you know, like I'm always talking to Jesus, you know, and I'm not afraid to tell the world that, because God has showed out for me over and over and over again, you know, all these years. Like, it's hard for me to believe that all these things are happening. And then the last thing, and most important, is I took training. You know, learning is a lifelong journey. I learned that at AARP when my first job out of college, they taught us that you're supposed to keep learning, right? Just never stop learning, always learn new skills. And I took that to heart. And so whenever I don't know something, whenever I want to learn something, I go find the classes, right? And I'm willing to invest in myself. But I would tell you, I was lucky. I found a class in Queens with the Queens Economic Development Corporation. They had a business essentials class. That was my first class. And I only had to pay $100. The effort, it was the time and the effort that was the cost, okay? But I made the time to go to that class. I think it was twice a week for like 8 weeks. I mean, it was hard, and I was still a new business owner, but I made it work. Me and my family, we made it work, and I went to that class, and I graduated. And I got information to help me know what I was doing, because I did not know what I was doing, Latoya. Like, a lot of times I would look in the mirror and say, what the hell are you doing? Like, you don't know what you're doing. But I went and learned, and I kept a notebook, and I wrote down everything that I needed to know. And then I kept networking with people. And then I signed up for another program called Streetwise MBA with Interise. That came through an organization called the Rockaway Development Revitalization Corporation. And so that was a free course. I signed up, I filled out the application, and they chose me. And I took the class, and I learned things, and I asked questions. And I, you know, when I didn't know, I raised my hand. I'm like, wait, stop. I need to understand this. And so I took that. And then I finished that class. And then the next class came up, the Goldman Sachs 10K SB program. That's the last course that I've taken and graduated from. And I would tell you that that network of entrepreneurs, the teachers, okay, the alliance with Babson College, you know, the opportunity to have fellows, interns. I mean, that program is a gift that keeps on giving. Just yesterday, I was down at 200 West Street delivering bottles of our proprietary dressings to the Goldman Sachs colleagues. So I would tell you that learning has been my claim to fame. Learning, my faith, and investing in myself by saving beforehand and having money to help me. And then to keep the business going through the pandemic is grants. I've used my public relations and marketing background to write good narratives to get grants, okay? And also back to asking questions and looking for opportunities. That's the way I have been able to sustain the Nourish Spot going forward.
Awesome. So that is, you know, that's a lot. So I hope everybody can start to digest all of the different things. But I think the most important part was to invest in yourself. I mean, every part was important, but the part that I heard that kind of resonated was you have to spend the time on educating yourself, and you have to spend the time on learning the business, not just the business of what you're doing, but how to run your business. So I'm hearing that was an important theme for you. Now, take us another step back. The name Nourish Spot. You know, when you think about the place that you've chosen to open your business and the work that you do and the impact it has on the community, talk to us. What does that mean, the Nourish Spot?
Well, it means everything to me. And right before I answer that, I just want to say one more thing. My staff were very instrumental in us being able to do what we do, okay? And our partnerships with all of the nonprofit internship organizations in Queens have been instrumental to what we do. Now, back to this next question that you had, and I want you to say it one more time. Tell me again.
Nourish Spot, the name, okay. And the placement, okay, of it, like nourishing Queens. Talk to us.
Okay. So number one, I wanted to establish the business in my community where I was raised, where my family has over an 80-year history. My grandfather, the home that I raised my children in and still live in, my grandfather raised my mom here, and I bought it from him before he died. And so we have a in this community, we have a family. We're close, right? So when I decided that I was going to do this business, that I didn't think about any place else but right here where I am. And I knew that my people needed it, okay? The people in my community, you know, are beset with so many illnesses that we can treat, like they're preventable, right? And so if I was going to test out this concept, I was going to test it out in the community where we needed it the most. And let me just back up a little bit. I told you when I started the business, I was on my own health journey, right? So I would have to leave my community to go get the things that I needed, okay? And I said to myself that I cannot be the only person in my community that wants this, that needs this. And so I knew that if we could open the doors, that people would come, like that Kevin Costner movie. And sure enough, we opened the doors and people come. So now the name, I wanted to name it Eden, like the Garden of Eden. But when we were looking to trademark it, there were so many businesses that had that name. And so I was like, oh, I can't use it. And I was really, really upset. I would tell you, very, very upset. And I went to church because I found out about not being able to do it in an email from my attorney on a Sunday morning. And so I went to church that day. I'm a member of the Greater Allen Cathedral in Jamaica, Queens. And I went to church that day and I was sitting in my usual pew. And I'll tell you, I was crying, okay? Because, you know, we were like right there, ready to open up the store. And here I am now, I don't have a name, you know? I'm like, what am I gonna do? And I would tell you, I sat there, I was praying and Reverend Elaine was preaching and she said the word nourish. She said something like, and God will nourish you. And I will kid you not, I yelled at, that's it, that's it, that's the name, that's the name. And I went home, I reached out to my attorney immediately, and I said, I got the name, it's the Nourish Spot, the Nourish Spot. Check it out, go look, make sure we can get it. And sure enough, he did it, and we trademarked it, and we use it, and I'm just really proud. So that's where Nourish comes from. And why I love the name is because what we're doing in our community is we're not just nourishing bodies, but we're also nourishing minds and souls. Because we use our platforms to educate people, not just about food, about jobs, about opportunities, about programming that's going on in our community. Like, you know, I see myself, it's almost like the village, like the medicine doctor. Like, you know, you would go to the woman and she would put together all the herbs. That's how I see myself in my community. I see myself as a link, an individual that people can come to and I can link them to the things that they need, not just food, also people, places, and things. So that's where it comes from. And that's what I hope that we're doing for all the people that come to our door.
So, you know, you do more than that, because when I think about some of the kids that you brought in over the years, tell us about some of the success stories around some of the students and children that have grown their careers pretty much in your shop.
Yes. Well, we have quite a few. When we started, it was just me, my son, my daughter, and we had a guy that we hired. And then all of a sudden, demand increased. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so my daughter, Jade, who is our COO, she is a graduate of Johnson & Wales. And when she was at Johnson & Wales getting her hospitality degree, she was also a resident assistant. And so she worked with a lot of the other college students. And so when I said to her, oh my God, what are we going to do about staff? She was like, oh, I know exactly what to do. And she reached out to all of these nonprofit partners, including the CCAP program in New York City, which is Culinary Careers on Arts program. And she got us interns. And from those interns, we got a bunch of young people, some that were like concretely interested in culinary, right? But then also some that were interested in business, and then some that just needed a job, okay? You know, that came from families where they needed extra money, right? They needed to be able to take care of themselves. And so we have one young man that started his own business during the pandemic, okay? It's called Bash Eats, and he started his own business. And then we have another young man who now he's a physical trainer, like he's training other people on not only how to be healthy, but also on exercise. We have a young woman in our store. Her name is Khadija. She's going to be a doctor. I mean, she's now actually in school and learning about how to be a doctor. So I'm just really proud of all of these kids. And they come from Tanzania, Jamaica, Queens. We have young people that are Muslim. We have people from Liberia. It's just a nice hodgepodge of Blackness, and I love it.
Okay. And, you know, as I think about like just the international aspect of it, you know, one of the things you mentioned was the airports. And as you think about like the future of NourishBot, what is your vision for the things that you're willing to share, but that you want to speak into existence? What is your vision for the NourishBot going forward?
Well, my vision for the NourishBot is to expand our footprint into more concessions, into airports near you. And I mean you, everybody that's listening, even golf courses. Now, LJ, how you and I met is I was about to go participate in a golf outing and I had never touched a golf club. And I was looking for a Black woman to teach me how to play golf. And meeting you, I've learned. I'm not the best yet, but I feel so confident about going on to a golf course now because I know what I'm doing, right? I know what clubs to use and how to hit the ball. And so golf courses have now become a place where I believe the NourishBot could exist as well, okay? So Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, like all of those places are places where I believe a healthy component is not only necessary, but I think it's warranted because you think about to be a top tier athlete, you have to take care of yourself, right? You have to eat and drink healthy. And so I think that we should be also offering that to the fans of those sporting events. And that's why, you know, I'm just going to kick it back again. That's why I'm just so exhilarated that we are fresh off of our service with the U.S. Open because those global patrons told us over and over again how happy that they were to have us there because they said a healthy component was necessary to their lives. And they showed us by showing up day after day after day.
I love it. And I definitely see a place for you at the PGA events because goodness gracious, at those golf events, the food is pretty questionable. It's questionable, some of them. So they definitely need a kiosk. So we'll talk about that offline because they definitely have done a call for more diverse vendors at these events. So we'll talk about that.
And you know what? I would love to talk to you about that because I signed up for the event and then I had to miss it. So I definitely do want to talk to you about how the NourishBot could partner more.
But like one of the things that I have to circle back and ask is, what made you pick up the club now? I mean, you were working in financial services. And so what changed?
Well, you know, I always went, and I told you this, and I don't mind your listeners and watchers to hear. I always wanted to play golf. Like I always did. But you know, and I'm just gonna be honest, you know, I'm a young lady from the hood, you know. I'm from a place where not a lot of people play golf and they don't play tennis, you know? And we play basketball, we play baseball and softball, but those things seem to be for other people, you know? And when I got to corporate America, I think I was embarrassed that I didn't know. And I was scared to learn in front of my colleagues. And so now that I'm an entrepreneur and my time is my own, I'm a little bit more open about, you know, looking a little like not the best until I can learn. And so I still know, just like I knew when I was in corporate America, that lots of deals are made on the golf course, okay? Lots of good, viable connections are cultivated on the golf course. And so why not now, okay? And so I reached out to you, and I'm so proud that I did. And now I have my own set of golf clubs. I got golf clothes in my closets. I have, you know, golf balls everywhere. And I'm proud of myself. I would tell you, like, I can feel myself getting a little emotional, but I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself that I exuded the courage to try. And that's what I would tell anybody that's listening today or watching today. Try, right? You know, if you try, then at least you can say, I tried it and it didn't work, right? But if you never try, you always got this doubt in your head, right? I don't want any doubts, right? I want to say I gave it the old try and, well, I didn't do as well. But practice makes perfect. So that's why I like going out with you on Sundays, you know, going to some of these outings that come up, right? So I can practice because practice makes perfect, not just in golf, but in anything you do. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. And so, like, I'd be curious to know, when you went to that first outing or that outing where you felt the most comfortable, what did you observe? Like, what was your aha moment at that event or the event?
Well, my aha moment was that no one cared really about my golf game, right? Yeah. They cared about me. They wanted to know about me. They wanted to know about why I decided to come to the event. So, and they were willing to help, right? Everybody was willing to help. Like every single golf event that I've been to since that first day with you, like, men and women, they want to help you. They want to show you. And nobody says, oh, you're a terrible golfer. Nobody says that. Everybody says, listen, this is a game of practice. You got to keep going, right? And so I've met some really wonderful people on the golf course as a result. And I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to get better and better. Maybe one day I'll get to compete like a Tiger or like you.
Well, I thank you for that, because I think sometimes we're afraid of what we don't know, and we're afraid, yes, of what's out there, but we don't necessarily know what that is. So we're creating a narrative that's not really true. And, you know, when we're thinking about, so what I want you to do or tell me about is, you know, the lessons or the ideas that the golf course of this experience has taught you about business, or that you've brought back into your business.
Well, I would say, one of the main things is, back to what I had said earlier, it's all about trying, right? You got to try things out, right? There's experimental concepts, right? Everything is not going to work, right? But you should try. So that's the first and foremost thing. Give everything an educated try. Take a risk, okay? That's number one. Number two, give yourself room. Give yourself room to grow, right? Like, don't tamp down on your passions. Don't tamp down on the things you want in this life, right? Give yourself room to breathe and grow, right? You know, I had to tell myself that I was free. And let me just say this, and I'm not sure if I ever told you this, but the day that I decided that I was going to start a business, I had to tell myself that I was free, right? That I was free to do what I wanted to do. Because, you know, you spend your life as somebody's kid, as somebody's student, as somebody's employee, and you're always looking for somebody to say, it's okay. Oh, yes, you can. Or give you the the okay to do something. And then I had to tell myself, I'm not waiting for nobody else to say it's okay to do this. I can do this, okay? And so I learned that I'm free to make the decisions. And when I mess up, I can try over again. And like when I'm chipping the ball, right? When I'm chipping the ball and I miss it, it's okay. The world's not gonna end. I just try it again. I assess, you know, my form. I assess what I may not have done right. And I try to put that into my muscle memory and do it again and keep doing it until I get it right. So that's the other thing that I think that I've learned. And then last but not least, it's all about the connections you make and cultivating connections and the people you meet and how you make the people that will meet you feel, right? And how you can share and help build. And that, I think, is the best thing that I've learned about playing golf is all of the new people that I know and all of the great connections that I've made. And, you know, as a result, all the new opportunities that have presented themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so like, if I were to end on like your golf journey, then what's the next step for you in the golf game then?
Let's think. I don't know. Getting on a golf course, get a nourished spot on a golf course. I need to start talking to all of these different beautiful golf courses that you have introduced me to and some of my friends have introduced me to and start going in and talking to them about setting up a nourished spot concession in their beautiful, I forgot what you call those,
the clubhouse.
Yes, in their beautiful clubhouses, yes.
Okay. I feel like that might be a good place for us to end because everyone listening, you heard the call to action. We need to get that nourished spot placed properly on either the 19th hole or at the pro shop or at the, you know, the clubhouse or at the turn, at one of the places on the course. We need to see a nourished spot. Or maybe the cart girl is driving around with a nourished spot cart.
Yes. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy my champagne at the ninth hole. I do. But wouldn't it be nice to have a smoothie option? Oh, my gosh. Or cold pressed juice. That would be beautiful. So, yes, let's put that in the air. As my mother would say, you cast your bread upon the water and in many days it shall return. So I've just casted that dream out there. Let's see how God brings it back.
Amen to that. So I feel like thank you for joining us. And I feel like that's a great place for us to pause.
Thank you so much, LJ. I appreciate you and thank you for having me.
So there you have it. Another episode with an entrepreneur that is hustling and doing everything that she's setting her mind to. She's speaking it into existence, casting her bread upon the waters, which is Ecclesiastes 11:1, and also following through by investing in herself, by being faithful, and by saving her money. So I think one of the things we often hear is about using other people's money to fund your business. Sometimes you need to have your own money to fall back on because when you go broke, you can pull out of your reserves, hence savings, to succeed and pull you through difficult times. Another one of the concepts highlighted here is being able to operate and have the infrastructure to support growth and scale. And what you've learned from Dawn is that she can go from brick and mortar to a kiosk at the US Open and still be able to deliver the same level of quality in her product. So let's imagine tomorrow you're given that big opportunity, the one you prayed for, the one you wrote on your vision board, the one you put in your business plan. Are you really ready? Well, that's food for thought. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Tease Me.